Praise the Lord. Well, tomorrow, July the 4th, we celebrate the independence of the United States of America, which took place on July the 4th, 1776. And that was 235 years ago. It was an independence, however, that came with a price. And that price continues to be paid yet even today. You know, the birth of the United States came as the results of our forefathers having left their homes and, in many cases, persecutions so that they could have the freedom to worship God. And today we take a long look back, and then we take a look into the future and see what it may hold. The Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews, and this was written to the Hebrews, to the Jews essentially. And he says in chapter 11, if you read that whole book, and it's called the chapter of faith, the hall of faith, the hall of fame, so to speak, of faith. Those who had served God and had made their mark for God in past times. But in chapter 11, beginning with verse 34, we read of some things that are taking place in Paul's time. And these are folks that are being added to that hall of fame, so to speak. And he says this, beginning with verse 34, reading here today from the Complete Jewish Bible. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, had their weaknesses turned to strength, grew mighty in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead resurrected. Other people were stretched on the rack and beaten to death, refusing to be ransomed so that they would gain a better resurrection. Others underwent the trials of being mocked and whipped, then chained and imprisoned. They were stoned, sawed in two, murdered by the sword. They went about clothed in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated, wandering about in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. The world was not worthy of them. All of these had their merits attested because of their trusting. Nevertheless, they did not receive what had been promised, because God had planned something better that would involve us, so that only with us would they be brought to the goal. God has a better thing in store for us than what we will ever see here on planet Earth. Better than we could ever imagine. And as I was reading this scripture, I was thinking back as some of the things it talks about that those who were Christians in the day of the Apostle Paul, some of the things that they were facing. I thought also that about our men and women that are in the military who have fought for our freedom over the last 200 plus years, and they have gone out and some have been killed, some have been tortured, some have had been beheaded, some have had various things happen to them, but they kept their faith in the United States of America, and they held out even though the enemy had come against them, and they did their best to protect the other men and women that were serving with them from harm that would come to them if they revealed certain information. Today's message probably has an unusual title, considering that most folks might be preaching a 4th of July message today. The title today is The Coming Holocaust. And I'm preaching this message as we are preparing to celebrate our nation and our freedom. First of all, I want to give you some definitions of the word Holocaust. According to one dictionary, it's an act of great destruction, a loss of life. Another definition given is the Nazi program of exterminating Jews under Hitler. The word Holocaust comes from the Greek word, and I have a little trouble pronouncing some of the Greek words, but Holocaustos, holos meaning whole, and kostos meaning burnt. The whole is burnt. It's also known as a Shoah in Hebrew, HaShoah, meaning calamity. There's also some Yiddish definitions for it, which simply mean destruction, which talks about the genocide of approximately 6 million European Jews during World War II. Now, I want to go into a little bit more background here. The diaspora, which is the scattering of the Jewish people, or diaspora, which was the scattering of the Jewish people when started in about the 6th century B.C. and continued through the 2nd century A.D., and during this period of time, many of the Jewish people were killed, they were sold into slavery, and they had other horrendous things that occurred and happened to them. If you go back into the Old Testament and you read some of the prophets there, you find out that they were living during that particular period of time when the Jewish nation had been conquered and many of the people had been taken to places such as Persia and Babylon and many of these other surrounding countries. You read the book of Daniel, and this talks about a young man and some other young men that were taken into Babylon, and here God put them into favor, but many other of the Jewish people did not fall into favor during that time. During this time, the book of Esther, if you recall, recounts the attempt by a man named Haman to have all of the Jews killed. He would have been responsible for the first mass genocide of the Jewish people had his act been carried out. But we find out from reading in the book of Esther that God intervened. He put Esther in the place that she was the person who was right for that hour, for that day, for that time, that she would speak the word to the king, and the king would in turn revoke what was going to happen. He couldn't revoke his order. Got to think about that. He could not rescind that order. But he gave a new order and said, I'm giving the Jewish people a day's notice here that they can go out and they can arm themselves and they can prepare. And he had Haman hanged on the gallows that he had built to hang Mordecai on. And you know what happened? The rest of them, they got the message. They got that message real quick that they weren't going to do this. God intervened in that particular place. And I know some people might say, well, how come God didn't intervene during World War II and this great genocide that took place then? I don't know. God knows I don't. During the first 300 plus years of what we call A.D., that the calendar being counted from the time of Christ, we find out that similar things were beginning to happen to the Christians. The Christians were being killed. The Christians were being fed to the lions. The Christians were being put in the Colosseums, and there they were to do battle with trained gladiators. The gladiators had weapons. Guess what? The Christians didn't. Many were burned at a stake. And great bonfires took place. And people came in great multitudes. And they cheered as they watched them being burned to death. That's pretty sick in my book. But that's the way it was. You see, there was an attempt to wipe out the Christians. In fact, Paul, that great apostle, started out, named known as Saul, to do just that very thing. Eliminate the Christians. Eliminate them. He had plans of executing a Holocaust on the Christian church. Wiping it out. Emperor Constantine, who was emperor between 306 and 337 AD, who converted to Christianity, then declared Christianity the religion of the empire. And some of the persecution, or a great deal of the persecution, then ceased because it became the religion of the empire. And then, of course, we go on and we find out in history other things that happened. Then there were times that people came against the Christians. There were times that people came against the Jews. In fact, it's quite sad to say that many Christians were against the Jewish people during that particular period of time. And we've mentioned it before, but some of the great men of past times in Christianity were anti-Semitic, and they hated the Jews. Obviously, they forgot to read some part of their Bible. Now, we had, of course, in World War II, that great genocide of 6 million plus people under the realm or under the regime of Adolf Hitler. It was his desire to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth. And you know what? He wasn't planning to stop with the Jews, because he was going to create a master race. And some of you folks that are here today, and a lot of you that are listening to me on the internet and via CD, you were one of the people, or you would have been one of the people he wanted to eliminate, because he was going to create this superior race. And he was going about doing some of it under the banner of Christianity and saying, I'm a Christian. Well, you can get up and you can proclaim you're a Christian till you run your voice out and you can't speak anymore. You're hoarse. And you can proclaim all that. But unless you've got Jesus Christ living in your heart, unless you've accepted the Son of God into your life, you are not a Christian. Amen. And I know there's some people that's probably going to give me some flack on that. But I don't care. That's what the Word of God says. The only way you're ever a true Christian is when you've got Jesus Christ living in your heart. Now there's a man by the name of Mohammed Ahmadinejad, who was president of Iran, which was known as Persia in the Old Testament. And he has declared that it is his goal, his calling, his purpose in life given to him by Allah is to wipe Israel and the Jewish people from the face of the earth. Hitler's Holocaust would pale in comparison to what Ahmadinejad would do if it were possible for him to do so. But you know what? Like Hitler, it wouldn't stop there. There is no plan of it stopping there. Because once he's wiped Israel off the face of the earth, guess what, Christian? Whether you've got Jesus Christ in your heart or not, and you're calling yourself a Christian, and you're just one of those people, well, Grandma and Grandpa was a Christian, he's coming after you too. Because that's his command. That's his goal. That's his purpose. That's his calling. To eliminate anyone who will not bow and proclaim Allah as God. And I know there are people running around today, and this is what got Jack Van Impe in trouble with TBN, who want to claim that you can mix the two, that you can bring the two religions together, that after all, we're all serving the same God. But I'll tell you, my Bible tells me there is no way we're serving the same God. Amen. And I've got news for you, and I say it again, and I say it without hesitation. If that were true, that we were serving the same God, I wouldn't want to serve him. Because he can't make up his mind. He contradicts himself. And everything else, if you sit and you put the two side by side and see what they have to say, there is absolutely no way that they can be the same. They cannot be. So you can believe it if you want to that they're the same, but that's not what the Word of God has to say. That's not what the Bible has to say. And that's not what the truth of God's Word has to say. Oh, I tell you today, there's a lot of people out there that want to come together. I preached a sermon in this church several years ago, and I called it the religion of the Antichrist. And I said in that sermon, and I repeat it today, that I said that I thought it was very likely that Islam could be the religion, or a form of Islam could be the religion of the Antichrist that was to come upon the face of this earth. The Bible tells us the Antichrist will have a religion. He will have a false prophet. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's people right now who are trying to put this Antichrist religion together. And I'm going to tell you, anybody that tries to follow Chrislam, mix Christianity and Islam together, they are dealing with the religion of the Antichrist, and they are false prophets, and they are members of the Antichrist team in my book. And I don't care who they are, how famous they are, they're a false prophet, and God is not in them. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of pretty strong because you're talking about some people that are big names out there. I don't care. If they're not serving God according to what the Bible says they should be doing, then they are false prophets. The Word of God has declared them so. We see in the world today taking place some of the things that Ahmadinejad would like to do. Christians in Pakistan, Christians in Afghanistan, Christians in Iraq and Iran, Saudi Arabia, other parts of the world, some parts of Africa, are being tortured today, are being persecuted, are being put to death because why they serve Yahweh, the God of the Bible. Because they serve Him and they will not bow their knee to Allah, they're being put to death. A Christian goes out and witnesses for Jesus Christ in some of these countries, and he doesn't know whether he will draw another breath after he's finished that witness, because that person might turn him in. That person could possibly even kill him, and they'd get away with it. These are the things that are going on in the world today. The Bible tells us there is another coming Holocaust. And I know we don't like to think about it. Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 17. And again, I ask you to not just take the scriptures that I'm giving you here today, because we do this for time constraint, but read the entire chapter in many cases and get the full picture here. As they used to say, get the big picture. It says here, in chapter 13, verses 11 through 17, it was allowed to put breath into the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could even speak. And it was allowed to cause anyone who would not worship the image of the beast to be put to death. Also, it forces everyone, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, preventing anyone from buying or selling unless he has the mark. This is the name of the beast, or the number of its name. I want to bring your attention back to the book of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. And the Bible tells us there that King Nebuchadnezzar built a golden image. And with this golden image, which you read about in chapter 3, this golden image was built, and everyone, it was decreed, was to fall down and worship this image when the trumpets sounded and when the various instruments sounded. They were to fall on their face and worship that beast. And I got news for you. They didn't just stand there and bow their heads. They had to fall prostrate on the ground before that thing to show that they were worshiping that beast. And the Bible tells us here that there were three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they were standing there and they had determined in their hearts that when that trumpet sounded, when that music played, and all that mass began to fall on their faces before that golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had decreed to be built, they were standing there when the trumpets sounded, and when the trumpets still finished sounding and everybody's face was on the ground, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were still standing there. And the Bible tells us there was a great rage, and the king had them thrown into a fiery furnace. It says it was blazing hot furnace. The Bible tells us heated seven times hotter than before. Killed the ones who threw them in. And yet when the king looked down into the midst of that burning fiery furnace, he saw not three young men down there, but he saw four people walking about in the midst of that fiery furnace. And he says, I thought we threw three in. And they said, yes, king, we threw three people in there. He says, but there's four down there, and one looks like the Son of God. He recognized there was divine intervention going on there. He attempted a Holocaust and it backfired on him. But that day is coming that there will be that Holocaust, that destruction, that calamity. I also advise you to read chapter 11 as to what it has to say about this. But I've got news for you. I've got some fantastic news for you, because we can dwell upon this Holocaust that is to come, that the Bible says will take place. And we see the seeds of it being planted. We see the beginnings, parts of it being planted. You know, Hitler didn't go out and murder all 6 million Jews the same day. It took a period of time. It started out slowly and then it began to build in momentum until it got to the point that hundreds and thousands were being sent daily to the death camps. But the same thing is happening today as this coming Holocaust is taking place. And we see these Christians around the world being killed for their faith. But I've got some great news for you. Yeshua, Jesus, Yahweh's only begotten Son, paid a price for you that you could escape that coming Holocaust. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, as soon as Yeshua had been immersed, he came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God coming down upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased with him. This is my Son." Now I go back to what I said earlier. Allah has decreed that he has no son. Yahweh God has said, "I've got a son and I love my son and my son loves you. And because of him, I love you and I'm going to bring salvation to you if you will only accept my son." He's made a way for us. Of course, there's that old familiar scripture in John 3:16, which says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only," King James says, "begotten," Jewish Bible says, "unique son. There is none other like him. So that everyone who has faith in him, who trusts in him, may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed." He made a way for us. And yes, even though some of us as Christians here, even in the United States of America, which is still the freest country on the face of the earth, even though those freedoms are slowly but surely being eroded away, we may face some of this persecution. It's a possibility. But I've got news. He made a way for us, because when that moment comes, he's going to be there for us and he's going to lead us through. That's why the saints of old, as they were being burned at the stake, that's why as they were being fed to the lions, that's why as the gladiators came at them with the sword, that they could stand there and they could still praise God and worship God as they were being put to death, because they knew what God had in store for them. They knew that there was a better way. He's made a way for us. He is our blessed hope. Oh, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 52 says, "Look, I will tell you a secret. Not all of us will die, but we will all be changed. It will take but a moment, the blink of an eye, at the final shofar, for the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised to live forever, and we too will be changed. We will be changed. This old mortality will be put off, and this soul, this spirit that's within us will gain eternal life, and we'll put on that new spiritual body that God has given us. Oh, that will never die. It will never go away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then he goes on in Revelation chapter 20. And he says, "Oh, then I saw thrones, and those seated on them received authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for testifying about Yeshua and proclaiming the word of God. And also those who had not worshipped the beast and its image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they came to life and ruled with the Messiah for 1,000 years. years. And I'll tell you, if any of you that are listening to me today don't believe in a literal hell, and you think that Rob Bell is right, and that it's something that was, well, it'll be there for a little while, but we'll all eventually end up in heaven. I've got news for you. That's not what God's Word has to say. Rob Bell is missing. He's eliminating. He's taking out some of God's Word. And the Bible warns against people doing that. You cannot remove part of God's Word. Read the whole chapter here, not just these few verses that I have given you. But on in chapter 10, it goes on to talk about something as it goes on with this thing, this judgment that's taking place here. And it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Then in verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I'll tell you, God's Word tells us hell is a real place. And it tells us the day is going to come that death and hell and those whose name are not written in the book of life, along with the devil and his angels, are going to be cast into that eternal lake of fire, which the Bible says burneth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and a whole lot more times after that. It's never going to end. It's never going to cease. If you don't know Yeshua, Jesus the Christ, as your Lord and Savior today, the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If there are any that are listening to me today that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, today I ask you, you've got a choice to make. You can serve God. You can accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You can make Him your Lord and Master. Or you can go on as it are and you can face these things that will take place in the coming Holocaust. The choice is yours. I can't make it for you. Your mama, your daddy can't make it for you. No one else can do it for you. You have to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Accept Him as Lord of your life. And I got news for you, and I see this happening a lot anymore, but just simply reciting some prayer because somebody says pray this little prayer is not going to necessarily do it, because you've got to mean it in your heart. You can pray a prayer to please man and go on and do whatever you want to do. And I've heard some people being told, well, you can pray this prayer, you're saved, you can go on and do what you want to do. That's an outright lie. That's a lie from hell itself. And there's some churches that are teaching that. But when you pray, yes, you may follow some words that man may give you to help you in making that prayer. But when you mean it from the heart, when you mean it from the heart and you cry out, "Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart." And you feel it with all your soul, all your spirit, with all your being, He will come in. And He will make a way. You want to escape the coming Holocaust? That's the only way. It's the only way. Father, right now, as we bring this message to a close, Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts wherever this message is heard today. And Father, let men and women who are teetering on the brink right now, some who've not even considered accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, help them to make that decision today. And some, Father, as they make this decision, the part of the world they're living in, Father, it will be a decision that will bring hardship into their life. But help them, Father, to stand true to you, because, Father, you have a better way. You have a better thing. And I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do for men and women, boys and girls around the world today as they accept Jesus Christ into their heart and life. I thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.